Okay, maybe you were wondering what was going on when the reading from Acts was being read, and you're not crazy. What you were hearing were different languages: French, Swedish, Bambara, Telugu, Vietnamese, and American Sign Language. It was a taste, friends, of what I believe the disciples, the followers of Jesus, experienced on that Pentecost day when Jesus gave his Holy Spirit to the church and they began to speak in different languages. A picture for us of the unity of the church, the gospel going to all the nations and God's gift being poured out upon all races. A beautiful picture. And I love on Pentecost Sunday when we get to have others who speak different languages really participate in that glorious way. Well, join me as I pray as we open up God's Word. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this glorious Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, that you are with us. Not only are you with us, your Holy Spirit enables us to understand your Word in greater ways. And so I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come be with us. Come fill us fresh. Come teach us this glorious truth from the Word of God. Come do above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. You know every heart in here this morning. You know every longing. Show us how you are with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every day you and I are faced with increasing choices, decisions that we have to make. And studies show, now this may sound very staggering, but numerous studies show this, that you and I, who are adults, make some 35,000 decisions in a day. Can you imagine that? Some 35,000 decisions in a day. And do you know what the stats show? That 227 of them all revolve around food. Can you imagine? Now, it's not just what am I going to eat for breakfast or lunch, but how am I going to, what ingredients am I going to put into this? You know, am I going to heat it up in the microwave? If so, how many seconds? So you get the picture. There are a lot of decisions that we're not even thinking about, but they're not all around food. I mean, the decision of which of the 1,000 cable channels will I watch this afternoon? What ingredients am I going to have put in my coffee this morning? And which drive-thru am I going to go to? You get the picture. I mean, we are filled with decisions every day with our work that we need to make. What will I post on social media today? How many times will I post something on social media? Will I read somebody else's post? And if so, how am I going to respond? You see, we're faced with a plethora of decisions every day. And here's the key thing that we need to understand, the question we need to ask ourselves. How are we going to navigate all that is before us in a day by making wise decisions? How are we going to navigate anything that's before us by making wise decisions? I mean, think about it. In our careers, many of us will go to the latest book on leadership or article on leadership to see how do I lead in a more effective way? Or for those who are in charge of your home and your kids, you might look to the latest blogger to see what they've written on how to manage your home in a more effective and peaceful way. And as I thought about this, I realized the reality is that the Bible is usually one of those references that we go to maybe second or third or fourth down the road if we go to it at all in making decisions in a day. We see its relevance in some things, but by and large, in the ordinary moments of day, many of us take it as an add-on at best. And we make our own decisions having thought through things or read something else. Here's what I want us to see this morning. What you and I need, we need to learn how to make wise decisions every day. Decisions like, how am I going to respond after a really long, hard day when I drive up in the driveway and enter into my home where my family is? How am I going to respond with them, to them? We need to know, how do we make wise decisions on how to manage our money? How do we make wise decisions on how to be a true friend? Or how to be a leader? Or how to respond to the injustices that we all experience? And the injustices that we see happening in the world around us, how do we respond? Well, this summer, and we're beginning this morning, we're going to be going through a new series in the book of Proverbs. this glorious book of wisdom. And what we see in the book of Proverbs is this: it's all about seeking wisdom from God as we navigate through life. Seeking wisdom from God, seeing that this book, this word of God is relevant for everything that you and I go through. And my hope and prayer is that it's going to lead us more and more to lean into God's word and see the relevance of it in all of these decisions that we have to make. It does make a difference that we come to the Lord with these things. One thing you're not going to find in Proverbs, it is not a six-step to a happy life book. That is not what you're going to find in Proverbs. Rather, what you're going to find are insights to wrestle with, wise truths that really do apply to everyday life for you and me. That's what we're going to find. So here's what we see in Proverbs. A proverb is a poetic, vivid, thought-provoking saying that conveys truth. Okay? If you haven't read the book of Proverbs, I want to encourage you this summer, take time to go through it. It's not that long, but take time to read through it. And what you'll see there, it's poetry, okay? And it's vivid and often thought-provoking sayings that all convey truth. Like this: hate stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Try that one on. Or how about this? A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. See that picture? That's what we find in the book of Proverbs. And we find, actually, as we give ourselves to this, it actually guides us with wisdom in our ordinary moments of the day. And I want to say this about the book of Proverbs. Right now, it's just by way of introduction. Then we're going to get into the meat of what we're going to look at this morning. But Proverbs, like the rest of Scripture, was never meant to just be read alone. It was never meant to just be read in our personal devotion times and then set aside. Proverbs and the whole of God's Word is really meant for us to live out in community with one another, to wrestle with the challenges that we find in it, to struggle along on how am I really living this out, or how do I live this out? And the best way to do it is living in community with one another. One writer put Proverbs this way. They said, a proverb is like hard candy. If you just bite down on it, you'll get a little bit out of it and maybe even a broken tooth. But instead, they said, you must meditate on it until the sweetness of insight comes. I want you to think about that. What if you were to take various proverbs and meditate upon them, wrestle with them, sit with them until the sweetness of insight comes? I think that's what the Lord longs for us to see as we go through the book of Proverbs. And what we see is that Proverbs offers true wisdom for everyday life. So here's where we're going to go for the next few minutes. Two things. First, I want to look at what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Secondly, I want to see this gift that we have been given. Okay, we're going to look at what is wisdom. And then secondly, there's a gift that you and I have been given of wisdom. And we're going to look at that, looking at the passage on Ephesians in a minute. But first, what is wisdom? Well, let me take you, if you can put Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 up on the screen. Let me read this. It's the introduction to Proverbs. It'll give you a sense of what this book is all about. Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of King David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Wisdom. You get a picture right there. As Solomon, who wrote most of Proverbs, introduces it, it's a book about wisdom. Now, here's the great challenge for you and me. The inclination of our hearts is not to go seek God for wisdom. The inclination of our hearts is to seek to be wise on our own, right? I've got this. I don't need you to tell me what I ought to do. I don't need you to tell me or get direction from you on something that I need. I know how to do it. I know what's best for me. That's the natural inclination of our heart. And the reality is, friends, we're no different than our first parents, Adam and Eve, are we? You know the story. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve sought to be wise in their own eyes. And they thought that they could get greater wisdom than the wisdom that God gave them. And so you know the scene. It's that story where the serpent, who is Satan, comes up to them and tempts them to eat of the fruit of this tree that God had said, you can have everything is yours but this. And isn't that what Satan does? So he comes up and he tempts them. And we read these words in Genesis 3, 5 through 6. For God knows, this is the enemy speaking, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. If you know the rest of the story, did they get what they wanted? They got the exact opposite. They became wise, but in a distorted way. And everything that they thought they would get, guess what? Life for them became unraveled. And that's where you and I enter into this story. We live in a world where things come unraveled because of the fall, because we are not seeking the Lord for truth and wisdom. We're seeking it all over the place. That's what you find in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. You know, the theme of that book is this: everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Do you know what happens when we all do what's right in our own eyes? We may think we're going to have fun for a bit, but the reality is, and you just look at the culture around us, things unravel. Lives fall apart. I talk to people every day who have sought to be wise in their own eyes, and things have unraveled for them. And that's the reality. And friends, I want you to see God in his grace and his mercy has come to show us another way. He's come to say, no, don't seek to be wise in your own eyes. Come to me for wisdom, and you will find, actually, life in a greater way will happen to you. So what is wisdom? Wisdom does not come from how smart you are. Some of the smartest people in the world are fools. Think about it. You can be so smart and intelligent in your field of work or what you've studied, and you may be the one that people in Little Rock would say, who do you go to for this? Who's the wisest person for this? And you could go to them, and they can be an absolute fool. Solomon found that out. King Solomon, who wrote a lot of Proverbs, king of Israel, wealthiest man in the world, wisest man in the world. People came from all over the world to gain wisdom from Solomon. But he still failed. His life still unraveled. He had 700 wives, if you don't know that. Life unraveled for him because he sought to be wise in his own eyes. You see? And then what did he do? He turned away from the Lord. That's what happens when we seek to be wise in our own ways. But here's the hope. The scripture tells us, and this is the glory of scripture, that it didn't stop there with Solomon. It says, there will be another king, one greater than Solomon, one wiser than Solomon, who will be all wisdom, who himself will personify wisdom, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this in Luke 11, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. He said, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Isn't that interesting? Still seeking the wisdom of Solomon. When Jesus said, behold, something greater than Solomon is here. What's he saying? He is the man of wisdom. He is the ultimate one who is wise. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul wrote, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. You want to know wisdom? Look to Jesus. Not only is he a wise man, he is wisdom itself. Then Paul wrote in Colossians 2, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, wrote, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here's what we find, friends, in the scriptures. We find that wisdom is not about mastering a set of principles. It's not about learning and gaining a greater intellect on something. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. That's what we're going to see. Wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. Now think about this with me for a minute. If wisdom were a person, what would that mean for you and me? I want you to think about it in this way. That if wisdom is a person, that he's a person that we walk with and get to know and love, experiencing his nearness with us, and that's Jesus. And as we walk with him, all of a sudden, what do we find? We find ourselves becoming wiser and wiser because we have been walking with the one of wisdom, with wisdom itself. Do you see that? And that takes place in relationship. It's not about studying or mastering something. It's about engaging in a relationship with the one who is wisdom himself, who says, come and walk with me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will give you understanding into the things that you need. That's what we need, friends, in the ordinary moments of life. We need to know that there is one who will walk with us and bring us wisdom. And Christ himself is wisdom. That's by way of introduction. That's what wisdom is. I want to look now at this gift of wisdom that we've been given. And I want to look at it in the context of it being Pentecost Sunday. Because at Pentecost Sunday, what was given? The Holy Spirit was given to the church. And what we see is this man of wisdom gave his church, his people, a gift. And Paul speaks to this in this prayer in Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19. This is the gift of wisdom that we've been given. Follow along with me. This is in the midst of Paul's prayer, praying for the church in Ephesus. And as he's praying, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. So will you leave that verse up there, that beginning at verse 17, because we're going to come back to it in this next section here. What we see is this. Jesus giving the Holy Spirit gives the church what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what we're given, friends. This is the gift that we are given, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And we see this played out in three ways in this prayer. First is this. The Holy Spirit enables us to know God more fully. Think about that. He prays that the spirit of wisdom, that it would give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, what? In the knowledge of him. How do we know God? Certainly we can read it, read about him. And there are a lot of people who know a lot about God. But it's only the Holy Spirit who will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to really know him. You see, there's the difference of knowing about someone and knowing intimately somebody. And what Paul is praying here is that the church would intimately know God. And what we need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him. The Holy Spirit takes this outward word, okay, these words on a page, and he makes it the inward word of God to us. The Holy Spirit makes this, enables this glorious word to come alive, that we would know and experience more and more the love of the Father. Is that a longing that you have? To know him more? That's his longing for us, the church, that we would know him more. We saw this a bit last week, looking at the last part of Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. But the last part that Jesus prays, listen to what he prayed. This is in verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. What's Jesus praying? That the same love that the Father has loved him would be in us. Can you imagine receiving and living out of the fullness of the love of God the Father? Jesus knew how loved he was. At his baptism, the Father came down and the Spirit came down as a dove, and the Father said, "You are my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Do you need to hear that this morning? That's the word of the Father for you, for me, that we would know that we are pleased in his eyes, not because of what we do, but because of what he has done for us. He longs, friends, that we would know, or as Paul put it in a later prayer, how high and wide and deep is the love of God. Do you know that? Do you long to know that? He longs that you would. He longs that I would. Listen, if you want to experience more of the knowledge of Him, of the riches of His love, how high and wide and deep, I would tell you, give yourself to the reading and the meditation upon God's Word. That's how we're going to know who He is. That's how we're going to experience more of His fullness. When we give ourselves to His Word, that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation to understand in light of this lavish love that He has for us. That's the first thing that we need to see. Secondly, we see the Holy Spirit giving us a greater knowledge of what is ours in Christ. If I were to ask you, write down on a piece of paper, list all the things that are true of you in Christ. What are the blessings and benefits? What would you write down? Do you even know? You see, He doesn't want us just to know about them. He wants us to receive all of the fullness of who we are in Christ. I want to challenge you, another challenge. This summer, you want to know more fully about who you are in Christ? Give yourself over and over to the reading of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Don't look it up now, look it up when you leave. It's rich, it's deep, it's powerful truth about our identity in Christ, about what Jesus came to do for us and what the Father has done through Christ for you and me. If you want to know what is yours, give yourself to that reading and meditate on it and let it soak in to the reality of what is true of you. Think about this picture when we see the Spirit, look at this, the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation, not just to know God, but look at verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Do you know that hope? Do you know the hope to which He's called you? Do you live as a person of hope? We do when we receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak this truth to us. Think about this. Think about having a treasure chest in the middle of your living room, okay? And you know it's in a treasure chest. If you know pirate stories, it's gold and diamonds and money and jewels, and you just want to dive in because it's so glorious. But this treasure chest in your living room is not filled with gold or coins or diamonds. Rather, it's filled with all the fullness that is yours in Christ. I wonder what you would do with it. I think for many of us, it sits as a nice trunk in our living rooms that we put our coffee and drinks on, that we put nice table books on. And for many of us in the church, we have not opened that box. And by the way, it has no lock. But we haven't opened that box. We've not dived in to see all of the riches that are ours in Christ. Friends, what the Lord longs is that we dive in and live in and swim in all of the fullness that is yours and mine in Jesus, what He has done for us. I can only imagine what the church will look like when we begin living out of that. Because I think one of the sad realities in the church today is we fail to know who we are. We don't fully grasp who we are or what we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. People who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. People who have been forgiven, our shame washed away. Oh, friends, if we knew and we lived out of the fullness and the hope that is ours in Christ, we would be a radically different people. As I say here often, we would see the city turn right side up because we would be going out of here with a joy, a completeness, a soul satisfiedness. Fear would be cast away, and we would engage people differently with the love and grace of Jesus, that they would come to know what is true of them through Christ. Are you getting a picture? Are you getting a picture of the gift that we've received? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation is ours to know God, to know who we are in Christ. And third, to understand this resurrection power that is ours. Do you know what's yours? Do you know the power that you have in you? I think some might, but a lot of us don't. We downplay it, or we don't receive it or recognize that it's there. Listen again to these words that Paul prayed. He prayed that the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, and I'm going to jump to verse 19, that we would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. His power toward us. And he goes on and he speaks about the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, this incredible power that raised a dead man from the grave. Friends, do you know that that power dwells in you? I mean, what if you really believed that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave dwells in you? Can you imagine how we would live our lives? The fears that come before us, we would engage with the power of the Lord, wouldn't we? I love how Jesus put it at the end of Luke's gospel as he's telling his disciples what they will receive when he goes away. This is Luke 24:49. Jesus said, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with what? Power from on high." Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Can I tell you what, friends? This is the gift of the Lord for the church today. That by his grace, we have received this power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, what if you knew that you had power to engage the difficult situations that were put before you? What if you knew that you had this resurrection power to enter into that? A difficult relationship. Not that you could fix everything, but that you came with the power of the Lord to engage instead of withdraw and retreat, which we often find ourselves doing. This power of the Spirit is a power to boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. Oh, that the church today would speak with a boldness. But so often we kind of cower in fear. We don't want to offend someone. It's not offensive bringing the truth of God's grace. There's power. What if we began to speak boldly, not obnoxiously? Okay, I have to say that because you all know how we can have that tendency. No, it's speaking with boldness the beautiful truth of the gospel. What if you had power to stay in the game when you're getting weary? And I know some of you this morning are weary. But friends, you do have that power. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to stay in the game. Or finally, the power to do what he's called you to do, to say what he's called you to say, to go where he's called you to go. If you knew you had that resurrection power with you, what difference would it make? What difference would it make? This is the gift of the one of wisdom. He gave us what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation. To know him more intimately, to know who we are in Christ, and to know that we have this power that is in us, that goes before us in everything we do. Friends, we need wisdom. So join me as we go through this summer in the book of Proverbs to know more about this man of wisdom, to know more about what does it look like to walk with him, to engage him, and to see him with his power intersect the ordinary moments of your day and mine. And bring life. Amen. Bring life to you, bring life to me, bring life to the people around us. This is what the Lord longs for his church. And may we be a people filled with his Spirit, alive, his instruments, bringing his life-giving grace. Father, I pray that this word of yours would take root in our lives today. Father, I pray that as you have filled us, your church, with your Holy Spirit, that we would rise up and receive this gift in a greater way and live out of it for your glory, for your fame, because of what you have done for us. We love you, Jesus. Come guide us. In your name we pray. Amen.